Mama, there's wolves in the house. Mama, they won't let me out. Mama, they won't make nice.
This is Wolf in the House, a Teen Wolf fanfic written by Joe Lawson and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13, contains the pairing Derek Hale-style Stilinski, with additional tags for alternate universe, canon divergence, pre-slash, feral Derek Hale, angst, fluff and humor, self-harm, pack dynamics, domestic, POV Derek Hale, actual wolf Derek Hale. Author's notes.
Alright, so I wasn't gonna write Teen Wolf fanfic, but I'm weak and I caved. This is a very hard fandom to resist. It has werewolves.
The pacing and glow and bright. Is all snowy and white. Bury their paws in the stone. Make for my heart as their home.
The wolf woke up. The wolf woke up in a cage. The wolf woke up in a cage and he didn't like it. At all. The cage was locked, as cages usually were. A line of mountain ash surrounded it, a near perfect circle. Except for that tiny little gap in the line back in the darkest corner of the room where a mouse was having itself a nice dust bath in the finely ground powder. It was enjoying the hell out of it, too. The wolf watched it frolic and his belly twisted with hunger. Come closer, mousy mousy. Enjoy. Almost free. Almost free. Oh, yes. He thought, as much as he ever did think, dimly, impulsively, with occasional flashes of something distressingly lucid, that it must have been the pulse of magic that came with breaking the circle that had woken him. It wasn't enough, but it felt good, that lack of pressure. Iron alone wouldn't hold him. Whoever had put him in this prison was going to come back and eventually open the door. Because the wolf knew, deep down, in the still slumbering part of his heart that preferred to walk on two legs, that cages were for storage. Cages were for later use, for waiting for pain. Cages weren't meant for forever. Each breath brought with it the sense of his surroundings, and painted a picture about what was now and what had been before. Piss and dried feces. Fear stressed her. Sickness. Past wolves. Past people. Blue bitter plant. Blood. Concrete. Mold. Metal. Rust. Mouse. No death. Death happened elsewhere in this place. The wolf flopped down on his side and stretched, paws against the bars, back bowing. The sudden movement sent the mouse scrambling for cover, tiny claws skittering across the stone floor, wee heart thrumming like insect wings on a hot summer night. His belly rumbled in disappointment, but it wasn't too bad yet. He could go a long time without eating, if need be. his kind didn't die easily. He'd been badly hurt. He could tell from the lingering burning in his bones, the occasional involuntary twitches beneath his skin that spoke of lightning sparks and blue bitter plant, blades and blunt instruments. His was a body used to punishment, though. The wolf healed fast, and he'd long learned how to speed the process along. So he stretched it all away with slow, careful movements. Left hind leg, right foreleg, back. Oh, lower back twinged. He twisted, tucked his tail, arched his spine. Arch, arch, arch. Something popped. The wolf panted happily. Good, good. Right hind leg, left foreleg, toesies, paws. Footsteps from behind the door on the other side of the room made him lift his head, ears perked. Heavy boots, heavy cloth. Sweat, bitter plant smoke, gunpowder, metal. Hunter human, pain bringer. The wolf bared his teeth at the door, twisted around into a better position, and lay back down. Hunter human came in and brought with him cold white lights on the ceiling. The wolf closed his eyes. The wolf waited. He tracked Hunter human's path across the room until he heard Hunter human stop in front of the cage and felt the weight of his stare. Hunter human's right hand was clutching a metal shooter. Gun, they called it. Gun. That stank of blue bitter plant. The wolf could hear his fingers clench and unclench around the grip nervously, calluses rasping over rubber. Jesus fucking Christ. Hunter human muttered on a foul breath. Pish tacos and beer. Smoker. Developing ulcer. That's gonna make one big ass rug. He kicked the bars, making them clang. Come on, doggy. You awake? Come at me, big guy. The wolf breathed quietly. In another life, he had fought back uselessly. He had snarled and raged, and he had been punished for it. He had fought so hard, so often, and he'd lost all the time. Because back when he'd been hairless and walked on two legs, he'd never really believed he could win. He'd thought too much, had been too sloppy, too afraid, because he'd always been Derek, baby, sweetie, the soft heart of his pack, the keeper of obscure knowledge, the cuddly, sweet smile runt. This now? This was better. This was Wolf. This was fuck you all. This was safer. Hunter human pulled a flat little machine from his pocket, a talk machine, and, as people did with talk machines, talked into it. It looks like it's still on cold, ma'am. Want me to bring it up?
Is it still fully transformed?
A woman voice asked from the talk machine, tinny and flat, but the wolf recognized it anyway. Pack leader of the hunter humans. Cruel eyes. Stab painbringer. Yes, ma'am, the hunter human said. Didn't even twitch when I came in.
Then it's out cold,
stab painbringer declared.
They don't fake well when they're animals. Muzzle it and strap it onto the skinning bench. Make sure it's properly stretched out this time, will you?
Yes, ma'am, hunter human said again. Hunter human was very deferential. Well trained. He shoved the talk machine back into his pocket and pressed a few buttons on the box by the cage door. Up left, down right.
Lazy.
The wolf heard a hum and a click from inside the box, and then the door swung open. Hunter human stepped into the cage, and right into the jaws of death. The hunter human's den was a warren, a stinking slaughterhouse with metal walls and concrete floors. The taste of suffering and death was thick on the wolf's tongue as he trotted through the maze, his claws clicking treacherously, his breath too loud, his heartbeat a deafening drumroll. He trapped the whines of distress in his chest, choked them with all those terrible smells so he could focus on the trace of fresh air he was following. Down, over grated stairs, the thick soles of his feet aching with the sharp press of steel edges. Horribly exposed, he hurried across connecting structures and past open doors that led to rooms occupied with hunter humans. He kept low to the ground there, peeked around corners, waited, slunk smoothly when nobody was looking. Down, 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 until he reached the big space at the bottom that was filled with cars and crates full of metal and gunpowder and much worse things. Furs. Bones. Some of them were gut-wrenchingly small. He found a big door, which was booby-trapped to all hell, and a smaller door to the side, which was locked. A keypad was attached to the door frame, similar to the one on his cage, and the wolf didn't let himself think, because thinking had always gotten him in trouble before, so he wouldn't, not this time. He rose up on his hind legs and pressed buttons with a claw, very, very carefully. Up left, up left, up left, down right. Hot damn! This not thinking thing was definitely the way to go. He was going to stay on four legs forever. This was awesome. With a wide, toothy grin, the wolf slipped out into the glaring summer sunshine and ran as fast as his paws could carry him. Things got hairy for a while there, when the hunter humans swarmed out after the wolf, the whole pack of them, which he estimated was about a shitload. He didn't know where he was, other than that it was at the edge of a huge city near the ocean. He could smell the smog peppered with sea salt and the general racket humans made all the time wherever they settled. He was far away from home, was all he knew. The concrete was hot and gritty under his paws as he ducked and sneaked and ran and jumped and hid and did it all over again as often as it took. The sun beat down on him, and the heat caught in his thick black coat until he was panting desperately in an effort to cool down. He wasn't made for this type of weather. He was a creature of the forest, damn it, and a creature of the night. Only coyotes could thrive in this climate. He wanted his woods back and his little stream, even though it creeped him out when the fish tried to get between his toes to nib at the soft skin there. Fish were weird. In the end, it was fish that saved him, because that was his life. Dizzy with heat and dehydration, loopy from running circles around way too many hunter humans, and thoroughly fed up with it all, the wolf caught the scent of rotting fish and followed it. Because at this point, why not? The stink led to what appeared to be one of the last few loading docks still in operation in whatever industrial wasteland this was, and he didn't hesitate to climb into the back of a truck when nobody was looking. The trailer was one of the old models that were still covered with canvas instead of huge metal boxes, which fit with the rest of the sad fleet getting ready for departure. Some of the trucks reeked of imminent disaster. Brittle rubber, leaking fluids, stressed metal. But at that point, anything seemed better than playing tag with the hunter humans. The wolf only wanted to rest and get his breath back. The truck was loaded with bales of toilet paper, wrapped in plastic, and sealed in yet more plastic, to keep the environmentally friendly plastic covers of the individual packets nice and dry. The wolf grumbled under his breath in disapproval. So much trash. And where was it going to end up? At least some of it. In his woods. That's where. Stinking humans. He crawled over in between the towers of shit wipers and hunkered down in a corner, his dark fur blending in with the dirt and the darkness. The workers outside tied down the canvas and yelled the all clear to the driver. The engine started with a cough and settled into a metallic rumble that made the floor vibrate. The driver wasted precious minutes searching for a radio station. And then finally, finally, the old behemoth rolled forward with a jerk and a squeak and the hiss of releasing brakes. The wolf could hear the hunter humans outside as they drove, but they didn't come close. They only whizzed past like angry hornets a few times. It felt like an eternity, but eventually they disappeared in the distance, left behind in their mad search for a quarry that was no longer there. The wolf stopped chewing nervously through layers of plastic so he could tug out endless streamers of bleached paper. He plopped down on his mountain of tattered merchandise and sighed deeply. Now all he had to do was find the way home. Funny fact about werewolves. They could find their pack no matter where they were and how they'd gotten there. The wolf knew the truck was going in the right direction. He lay in the gloom and dozed, lulled into happy relaxation by the monotonous hum of the tires and the absence of danger. He didn't get bored. He was too much animal right then to feel anything but content. The air streaming in through the gaps and eyelets in the canvas cover cooled him down. He was steadily getting closer to home. The hunter humans were a distant memory. And his bed of toilet paper was actually pretty comfortable. Sure, he was hungry and thirsty, but it wasn't a serious problem yet. He was used to doing without. The taste of the sea in the air grew fainter and fainter, until it all but disappeared, to be replaced first with brittle dry desert grit, and then, eventually, with a scent of sun-warmed mountain earth and trees. The sun went down, and the moon came up, round and full way up in the sky. The road wound up and down in long, gentle curves that rocked the wolf in his dark, secure cradle until he fell asleep. He dreamed of his woods and his pack, the fish in his stream, the wistful whisper of tree magic in the ground, and eventually the creeping terror of losing it all. Because the truck was headed the wrong way. The wolf woke with a start. This wasn't just a curve. He needed to get off. He needed to backtrack. He scrambled to the tail end of the trailer, claws scratching and ripping up plastic and paper in his hurry to get out. The canvas was tough on his teeth, the fastenings on the other side and out of reach. But the wolf had sharp fangs, and he was determined. He tore up his mouth on the metal edges of the eyelets, and one of the elastic ties snapped and lashed across his face when he bit through the knot. But once he had a hole, it was comparatively easy to rip the fabric apart. The road behind the truck was empty, which was a good thing, because when the wolf jumped out, he broke both his front legs and his jaw. His body bounced and rolled, bones snapping and muscles and tendons tearing, until he came to rest at the side of the road in a heap of trembling fur. He shook and whined, hurting, and then he started to heal. And for a while, that was even worse, the pain of splinters pushing out and bone knitting together. Frayed nerve endings reconnecting, ruptured organs reassembling. The blood spilled internally seeped down through the pores of his skin to make room for healthy tissue until his pelt was sticky and wet with it. When he could breathe again, he stood on shaky legs and focused on that sense of home, of pack, a warm beacon calling to him. Yes, yes, there! There. He looked left and right before he dashed across the road, not eager to repeat his almost roadkill experience. And then he set out at a brisk trot, tail wagging in excitement. He was going home. Closer than before didn't necessarily mean close by, but the wolf didn't mind the long journey. He was aware of time passing, but it didn't have the same meaning for him as for human people. He found a pool of rainwater in a rock crevice and drank his fill, and that tided him over for most of the day. When his paws bled because he was going too fast over broken stones, or cut himself on trash, or, on one not-so-pleasant occasion, jumped right into a hidden cactus patch, he lay down on his side and waited until he had healed before he continued on his way. When the hunger really twisted its gnarly claws in his belly, he sidetracked onto a campground and stole a dozen hamburger patties out of a cooler. They were too spicy, and the onions gave him indigestion. But food was food. It was bitter plant-free. That was all that counted. The sun went down again. Somewhere in the mountains behind him, a couple of coyotes started to serenade each other. The wolf grumbled and trotted faster. Coyotes courting were almost as bad as cats fighting. He would have been so much smoother at it. Then again, he vaguely remembered the time when he'd been Derek, baby sweetie, and later Derek, dude, asshole. Maybe he hadn't been so good at courting after all. He couldn't recall details, and he didn't want to. But his hackles were up, and his tail had grown stiff, and his balls were trying to crawl back into his body. So he probably shouldn't be so hard on the coyotes. He pissed against one of their border markers anyway. Just because. On day two, he stepped into a bear trap. It took him 2 hours to figure out how to open it without losing his leg, and almost as long to heal the damage. He pissed on that, too. The land was beginning to smell familiar. He was still at the outer edges of his territory, but he was starting to recognize things. The old hunting cabin on the ridge. The trees scratched up top to bottom by the playful claws of a pack that was long gone. The stinky pond framed by pine trees. The nearly faded scent marks of his dead alpha mother. Those made him stop and sit down for a minute, crying softly. The whines soon stretched into long yowls, and they tugged and tugged at him from deep inside until he gave in and tilted his head back and let out a deep, mournful howl. The relief felt so good that he did it again. Long, drawn-out, ululating howls that carried through the heavy evening air and climbed molasses-thick rays of sunlight toward the gently blushing sky. He missed his mama and his daddy and his siblings, all of them, even the annoying ones. He missed games of tail tag and mud tracking and squirrel hunts and puppy piles and moonlit runs and ear tugs. He missed his auntie's god-awful mushroom stew and his daddy's back scratches and his cousin's weird Lego hiding habits. He missed his mama. He missed his mama. He was so lost in his misery, he almost overheard the answering call from down in the valley. But then the alpha added some oomph and that shook him right out of it. The wolf raised his nose into the wind and sniffed agitatedly, but the alpha, new alpha, Scott Alpha, was too far away yet to smell, and he'd never been this far out to leave his marks. That was his voice, though. And that deep roar was a welcome, and an order to come, come, come now. The wolf's tail started to wag, ears perking right back up from where they'd been drooping with sadness. As quickly as he'd descended into grief and loneliness, he snapped out of it again. This, too, was a good thing about being Wolf. Past was a distant pain, easily shoved aside for a present joy. He had lost one pack, his blood pack, but he'd found a new one. He wasn't alone. He was home. Almost. The wolf positively bounced down the hillside toward the sound of the alpha's roar. He crossed the hiking trails he'd run as a pup, climbed down his favorite shortcut ravine, splashed through the stream with its terribly forward fishes, and almost got run over by a car when he forgot to look left and right before crossing the road that led up to his family's burned-down den. The tip of his tail got clipped by the bumper, making him tuck it in with a yelp as he tumbled into the ditch ass over tea kettle. Behind him, brakes screeched. The wolf came to an abrupt stop in a patch of weeds that made him sneeze convulsively. Ragweed. Of course it was ragweed. He was still trying to extricate himself between sneezes and shudders caused by his body's immune system fighting off the effects of his allergies, when someone human, two someones, came sliding down the incline after him. One managed a reasonably smooth descent. The other started windmilling his arms halfway down, ended up on his ass, hollered, and skidded to the bottom with all the dignity and grace of an intoxicated baby giraffe. Ah, Styles. The wolf finally got his feet under him and stumbled out of the weeds, burrs and pollen clinging to his fur, tail going like a propeller. He yipped a hello, fully intending to pounce on his packmate and share the pollen, but the other human stepped between them before he could get close. "Stop right there," the human's body language said, loud and clear. "Back off." The wolf stopped obediently and backed up, blinking, not sure what was going on. He couldn't yet smell the human, but he'd met him often enough to know him even with his nose full of ragweed. Sheriff was part of the pack. Did Sheriff want to be greeted first? Why did Sheriff have a hand on his gun? Styles, stay back. That's not Derek. That's a wolf. A freaking huge wolf. Sheriff was new to this, the wolf remembered. Easily rattled yet, and fiercely protective of his cub. Always willing to accommodate his packmates, the wolf dropped to his belly and tried to make himself look smaller. The sneezing helped. Fucking pollen. On the bright side, Styles was pretty much trying to climb over his father to get to him. Are you kidding? There are no wolves in Cali, Dad. Werewolves, yes. So many werewolves. Ridiculously many werewolves, but no actual wolves. I bet you $100 that's Derek. He huffed indignantly when his father caught him by the scruff and pulled him back before he could get within reach. What? Oh my God, Dad, we hit him with the car. He could be hurt. If that's a werewolf, Sheriff said, unimpressed, it'll heal. And if it's not, this is a hurt animal. Stay back. At least he'd taken his hand off the gun. A sneezing wolf laying flat on his belly was apparently not quite as scary as a sneezing wolf crawling out of a patch of weeds. Derek? Sheriff squinted down skeptically. The wolf squinted back and wagged his tail, both to demonstrate his goodwill and the fact that, see, tail all healed. You're probably right. This can't be Derek, Styles sighed. I mean, look at him. This puppy is 10 kinds of adorable. Actually, where's my phone? He slapped a hand down against his pants leg and then the other, dug out his flat little talk machine and fiddled with it. The wolf wasn't entirely sure what that was about, but Styles kept pointing the thing at him and moving it around, and it clicked. That was curious. So the wolf sat up and tilted his head this way and that, trying to figure out if the clicking was caused by his movement or Styles' incessantly tapping fingers. If he focused, he'd remember. He knew a lot of things when he let himself remember. But it wasn't important enough to risk the bad that always came with the good. Styles chuckled.
Wow, this is gold. That shit's right out of a Disney movie.
The wolf had no idea what a Disney movie was, and he didn't really care. He was home, two friendly humans were right there, though not being particularly helpful. He was mostly rid of the pollen, and the grass at the bottom of the ditch was nice and soft. He didn't mind waiting for Scott Alpha to arrive and explain to Sheriff that everything was fine. Derek? Sheriff tried again. That you, kid? The wolf woofed, because humans appreciated sound, always jawing away, always yapping. They were worse than foxes. Couldn't blame them, though. Poor things didn't have tails or proper noses, and they were hard of hearing, too. You had to spell stuff out for them very clearly, and slowly, and often repeatedly. The wolf was used to it and happy to oblige. Human pack members were precious things. They needed protection and patience and care, which wolves were all too happy to provide. And they loved back so fiercely. Well, the ones who knew what was happening did. The new Beacon Hills pack was still a work in progress.
Was that a yes? Sheriff asked Styles.
Styles shrugged and finally put away his talk and click machine.
How should I know? I don't speak wolf.
But if he wasn't Derek, I figure he'd have eaten us by now. He stepped a little closer, which made Sheriff twitch unhappily. And then both Sheriff's and the wolf's jaws dropped when Styles bent down and crooned.
Aw, you would have eaten us, wouldn't you? Who's a ferocious werewolf?
In what had to be the most annoying baby voice ever.
Is it you? Are you a big bad wolfie, huh? No, you're a good wolfie. Yes, yes, you are.
How this kid had survived this long was a mystery. The worst thing was that the wolf had to sit on his tail to keep it from wagging at the praise. Must be because that sing-song tone sounded so much like the verbal equivalent of a friendly tail swishing, and the way the kid had tilted his head and showed throat. Styles had no self-preservation instinct. The wolf grumbled at him. Mildly. No teeth. Styles jumped back hastily, tripped over his own feet, and had to make a wild grab for his father's jacket to keep from falling over.
Sounds like Derek, all right.
Sheriff shot him a look. His eyebrow was very eloquent. It was calling Styles an idiot.
You think?
The wolf was not riding in the back of Sheriff's car. He was not.
Nah, no way.
It was a cage, it stank, and the windows were up and couldn't be rolled down. He checked. He was not going in there.
Come on, what?
Styles complained, looking between the wolf and the open door.
He'd rather walk all the way back to Deaton's?
The wolf wasn't sure what or where exactly Deaton's was, but he didn't doubt he could indeed walk there. Or run there, as it was. He had plenty of miles in him still. He was a fine runner, especially on four legs. He proved it by running around Styles, pawing open the door, and planting his butt on the passenger seat before Styles had completed his confused, "What the fuck, follow the wolf?" circle. Sheriff barked at a laugh. Styles cursed. The wolf wiggled proudly. Styles immediately bitched and complained and tried to physically remove the wolf from his chosen seat.
Good luck with that.
The wolf was heavier and had four big paws to fend off Styles, too. And that was how Scott Alpha found them when he came running out of the woods, barefoot in a pair of dirt-splattered jeans. Styles, with his hands buried in the wolf's thick ruff, grunting as he struggled to get a better grip, most of his face covered by one of the wolf's big paws. Sheriff, hovering close by, clearly torn between amusement and worry for his cub's safety. "Oh my God," Scott Alpha said in between panting breaths. "Derek?" The wolf would have loved to greet the Alpha properly and respectfully, but if he gave Styles an inch, Styles was going to drag him off the passenger seat like a disobedient puppy and claim victory. The wolf wasn't opposed to submitting as such, but his submission damn well had to be earned. He huffed in irritation. Styles wasn't letting go. Styles never let go. Once he'd latched onto someone, he was a goddamn pit bull in that regard. The only way out of this, the wolf realized, was to either do what Styles wanted or hurt him. And hurting him wasn't really an option. So he stopped pulling against Styles and jumped into his arms instead. "Holy shit!" Styles yelled as he toppled backwards, fingers still clutching the wolf's fur. And then he shrieked again when the wolf spun them so Styles was on top when they hit the concrete. They landed with a sound smack, boy on wolf, boy's face and squishy bits cushioned by wolf's body, wolf's back taking the brunt of the impact. Not quite what the wolf had planned, but then things rarely panned out the way he intended. He'd learned to roll with it. This wasn't submission, this was play. It was protecting a human member of the pack. It was all good. Except for the elbows, Styles had the pointiest elbows ever, and he was digging them into the wolf's ribs with a vengeance. "Dude, what the hell?" The wolf craned his neck until he could look at the Alpha upside down. Scott Alpha was staring at him, wide-eyed, mouth hanging open a little, disbelief in every line of his body. "I know, right?" Styles said from his position on top of the wolf, elbows easing up, but fingers still clinging to the thick pelt, dried blood and mud crackling under his grip. He didn't seem to mind. Styles wasn't the type to care about a little dirt. "You gotta pet him, Scott. This is awesome. It's like touching a bear. Also, probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." He didn't let go, but he rubbed his knuckles over the wolf's skin, tugging lightly on the fur in his hands. It felt nice. Styles seemed to think so, too, because he buried his face back in the soft, mostly clean, tufts of hair between the wolf's forelegs, and groaned.
"Ugh, he's so fluffy, I want to die."
"No," Sheriff said sternly. He walked up and stood beside the Alpha, arms crossed.
"Oh, no. No, Styles. We're not having this discussion again."
Styles whined. So much like a disgruntled pup, the wolf would have licked him had the angle not been so awkward.
"But he's so cuddly."
Long fingers tightened their grip on the wolf's pelt, nailing him right in the pack instincts. He huffed breathlessly and squirmed until he could lick Styles' ear and snuffle against his head, taking in great gulps of Styles' scent. Not a pup. Not even quite a teenager anymore. Right on the cusp of adulthood, this one, with lots of interesting musky notes sneaking into his core scent. The wolf ducked down a bit and laved the soft, vulnerable skin on Styles' throat, both tasting him, salty warm Styles, and testing him. Styles laughed and let him, tipping his head back without hesitation. That did things to the wolf. Good things.
"Dude!" Scott Alpha yowled, sounding appalled. "Oh my God, stop it! Since when are you on snuggling terms with Derek?"
The wolf didn't need to see Styles to know he was pouting.
not, he claimed. This isn't snuggling. This is celebrating the continuation of a precious life here, Scott. Aren't you glad Derek's not dead? I thought we were past this. Derek, friend, not foe. I'm just speaking a language he understands right now.
You're cuddling a huge-ass werewolf, Sheriff corrected, because your brain stops working when you're around the occasionally furry.
Hey, no offense, Scott. I resent that, Styles grumbled, still on top of the wolf, hugging him aggressively. I'm in no way influenced by all this fluff. I'm impervious to fluff.
His fingers were scratching perfectly up over the wolf's sides and into the baby soft fur beneath his elbows, pausing occasionally to crumble clumps of dirt and tug on a small cluster of burrs. The wolf's eyes rolled back in his head. It felt so good.
Who's a big cuddle slut? Who is?
Styles crooned, and the wolf knew he should at least nip him for it. But if he did, Styles might stop what he was doing, and that was so much worse than the wolf's current loss of dignity. Styles' fingers were magic. They made the wolf's paws curl and twitch in the air, as though he was trying to swim through a river of pure pleasure.
You are, Styles praised, and he sounded delighted by it and barely mocking at all. You are the biggest cuddle slut. Yes, you are.
You know he's going to throttle you for this when he's back to himself, right?
Scott Alpha asked, resigned.
Totally worth it,
Styles declared, and started in on the wolf's chest in tight, rhythmic circles.
This is the softest fur to ever furry. Forget bunnies. This is the ultimate petting experience.
Sheriff must not have liked that, because he raised his arm fast, as though he was about to strike, and the wolf snapped back to attention instantly. He'd been hit before, slapped and stabbed and hurt by enemies and allies alike, but this time it wasn't only him, it was human Styles, vulnerable Styles, Pac-Mint smells good Styles.
So the wolf reared up and tucked the boy into the curve of his body before he ducked down, rolled over, and flattened them both against the ground. It presented Sheriff and Scott Alpha with his broad back and neck, Styles safely hidden under his sturdy form, squawking in indignation. It was a memory move more than a wolf move, something he'd have done before, when he'd been Derek, baby sweetie. But it was effective, and that's what counted. The mood shifted from playful to tense so quickly that it made the wolf's heart trip over itself. He could feel Sheriff and Scott Alpha staring at him, the shock a bitter tang between his defiantly bared teeth. And he realized he'd done something wrong, but he didn't know what. Styles squirmed, confused but unconcerned, as he poked long fingers into the wolf's side to get him to roll off Styles. The wolf didn't. Couldn't, not right then. Not when he still half expected a kick or a clawed swipe at his back. He didn't move, lay quietly on his side, submissive ears pinned back and hackles raised, his paws keeping Styles wedged into the shelter of his body. Scott Alpha breathed in sharply and started to smell more wolfish again. More fur, more scent. The shift of his bones was a faint creak in the wolf's ears, the stretch of skin over the new structure a hushed slide. Scott Alpha stepped forward, keeping Sheriff back with a commanding, "No, let me." The wolf shivered. So, claws and teeth then. This was gonna hurt.
Scott?
Styles asked, suddenly wary.
What did you do? What's wrong?
His hands flattened out against the wolf's broad chest, and he grew still.
Jesus Christ, are you having a heart attack? Scott, is he having a heart attack? Did the cuddling break him? Should I start CPR or something?
He's scared,
Scott Alpha said, and he sounded weird, somewhere between disbelieving and uncomfortable. He was also lisping slightly due to the different shape of his teeth and the way his jaw had adapted to fit them.
I don't know what happened, dude, but he, like, went from happy to DEFCON 3 in 0.5 seconds.
Styles blinked. The wolf could feel his long lashes flutter against the fine hairs of his fur.
Why?
He asked, faintly accusing.
What did you do? Are you wolfed out? If you're wolfed out, stop it, dude. Like, now.
I'm not wolfed out,
Scott Alpha lied. I quickly shifted back with a quiet pop of bone compressing and fangs blunting down.
It didn't help much.
He was an alpha almost on top of the wolf, and he was agitated. The wolf squeezed his eyes shut and waited for the inevitable. Instead of punishing him for whatever offense he'd committed, though, Scott Alpha sniffed the air with a downright rude lack of subtlety and then stepped back again, slowly.
Wow, he said. I'm not gonna hurt you, dude. Derek? It's okay.
He huffed out a frustrated breath.
Seriously, since when are you this twitchy?
Ah, crap, Sheriff muttered. It was me.
What?
Styles tried to sit up, then sighed when he found himself securely stuck. He patted the wolf's heaving flank with a big hand, and then let it rest there, warm and reassuring.
Okay. What happened? What did you do, Dad? Play your gun on him?
Sheriff huffed in exasperation.
No, I did not pull my gun on him. You were being ridiculous, and I...
He cleared his throat.
I face-palmed. That's it?
Styles sounded skeptical.
The wolf was starting to feel a bit silly.
Everybody was talking calmly. Nobody was trying to touch them or behaving aggressively. And Styles seemed unperturbed. He also kept petting the wolf, soothing strokes against his bristled fur. And that, more than anything, convinced the wolf that the danger had passed, and punishment wasn't coming right then. He uncurled slowly and let go of the human, who immediately sat up so he could look at Scott Alpha and Sheriff. The wolf rolled around, too, until he was facing the two of them, though he was careful to stay on the ground and radiate docility.
He did not want to fuck up his place in the pack. Being an Omega sucked even worse than being an Alpha. He wasn't going to go back to that. No way, no how. That's it, Sheriff confirmed. Fast movement and a slap. I must have spooked him. He looks like he's been through the ringer.
Sheriff sounded neutral, but he was looking at the wolf with different eyes now. It was not at all how Scott Alpha and Styles looked at him. His gaze was more aware, prying. A look like a too smart, too curious nose. Sheriff saw too much, always had. It made the wolf uncomfortable. But he couldn't tell why, and he didn't want to understand because to do so he'd have to remember. And he knew instinctively that other him, two-legged him, was too fragile to handle this kind of scrutiny. The wolf didn't bruise so easily. That was why the wolf was going to handle things for the time being.
Jumpy, huh?
Styles teased, and started up the petting again. The wolf relaxed into it. He didn't know when he'd last been touched without the intent to hurt or deceive. And Styles had a knack for hitting all the good spots. Right behind the ears, and under his chin, firm against tense shoulder muscles, and kneading down the long line of the wolf's spine. Those long, strong fingers combed through matted fur and untangled it carefully, brushed out gravel and dried blood with surprising patience, picked out all the little twigs and burrs that had tangled on a thick pelt. The wolf could get used to this. He wanted to get used to this. His skin was so starved for touch, it confused his stomach into rumbling. Well, that and the actual hunger. He hadn't wanted to lose time hunting, so the last thing he had eaten since those terrible raw hamburger patties had been a bunch of grasshoppers that had panicked and jumped left when they should have jumped right. They had been crunchy, but not particularly filling.
Sounds like someone's hungry,
Sheriff noted dryly. Something had changed. He didn't seem worried anymore that his cub was sitting right next to a hungry predator. His stance had eased, his eyes softened, and that, in turn, soothed the wolf and made him pant contentedly. He hadn't liked the suspicion. Pack shouldn't be afraid of pack. Bad enough he didn't quite dare to trust Peter Dead Not Dead. The human members should know they were always safe with the wolf.
Stiles chuckled and rubbed one of the wolf's ears gently between two fingers, cleaning off dried specks of mud.
We could hit the drive-thru before we head to the clinic, get him a few burgers. I could go for some curly fries.
He smirked. The wolf could hear it in his voice.
They have a new salad special, too.
Burgers sounded pretty bad, actually. Cooked meat. Cooked spiced meat. In a bun. With slimy sauce and tasteless green stuff. Joy. And then again, food. Food with pack. Good, good, excellent. Pack meals were great for bonding.
Unfortunately, Scott Alpha had other ideas.
Oh, no, 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 no.
He waved his hands around, but the motion was flaily and non-threatening. Very clearly, only for emphasis.
No detours. Every time we deviate from the plan, bad shit happens. This time, we're going straight to Deaton's.
Will Deaton be able to turn him back? Sheriff asked, interested and worried.
Stiles pulled a face. Maybe. Or maybe he'll dunk him in a vat of ice water and tell us to hope for the best. Might as well have dinner first.
I'm not having the salad, Sheriff declared, eyes narrowed.
Nobody told me werewolves could turn into full-on four-legged wolves. From now on, every time you keep me in the dark like that, I'm getting a burger. If it's evil monster-related, I'm getting steak and fries. And I swear to God, you ever try and hide shit concerning your health and safety again, I'll hit Yowface Sunday Grease Fest Buffet with a vengeance.
You wouldn't! I never agreed to that! Stiles protested heatedly, clamoring to his feet.
He managed to knee the wolf in the back when he did it, so the wolf got up too. It seemed to be the safest option.
Also, we didn't know for sure it was a thing.
I can't turn into a wolf,
Scott Alpha threw in, trying to be helpful.
And you can bet we tried,
Stiles agreed. He's got the howl down pat, but we've never gotten him past the spock ears and the nasty old wife claws.
How did you...
Sheriff stopped and reconsidered.
On second thought, I don't want to know. Get in the car, all of you. We'll swing by the burger place on 5th on our way to the clinic. That shouldn't count as a detour.
The wolf obediently hurried back to the cruiser and jumped on the passenger seat. Sheriff gave him an unimpressed look.
Werewolves ride in the back.
But stinky and cage and no open windows.
The wolf whined pitifully. Stiles had no mercy.
You heard the man. Backseat, furface.
Reluctantly, the wolf slunk back down and followed the alpha, who was already scrambling into the car. He paused by the door.
The rubber mat on the floor smelled of marijuana-flavored puke.
Someone had pissed on the passenger seat cushion at some point. The headrests were smeared with the oily residue of 100 different unwashed heads. The wolf didn't know how Scott Alpha could stand it, though he suspected Scott Alpha to be quite proficient at turning off his sense of smell. The back of the cruiser shouldn't have bothered the wolf,
considering he woke up in a cage ringed with mountain ash not so long ago, on a floor soaked with terror and misery, old piss, old blood, bitter plant-laced sweat and sickness. The car was comfy in comparison. It was. It was also a prime example of humanity at its grossest. For a real wolf, smells were just smells. In general, they weren't good or bad. They simply relayed information. Werewolves, unfortunately, were cursed with more of an imagination and a clear idea of what was neutral data and what was disgusting and unsanitary and should be avoided. "Come on, get in," Scott Alpha called, patting the seat next to him. Skin crawling with revulsion, the wolf crept into the car and tried not to breathe. Failing that, he pressed his nose against the partition cage as close to Sheriff's neck as possible and focused on the man's scent. Sheriff smelled good. Not quite as good as his son, or maybe simply not as familiar, but quite nice nonetheless. It was a healthy scent, dominated by sweat, male musk, leather, gun, and styles. His heartbeat was strong and steady, though it sped up a bit when the wolf puffed out a sigh that ruffled the fine hairs on Sheriff's neck. "This is like riding with a canine," Sheriff grumbled. "I think I'm having a Gonzo flashback." He started the car and glanced in the rearview mirror to check the wolf's reaction before he eased the big car onto the road. Styles looked back at the wolf, a speculative glint in his eyes that turned into a smirk when he saw the look on the wolf's face.
"Yeah, except that Derek's more likely to barf instead of bark. You need a bucket, dude?"
"No barfing," Scott Alpha ordered, and scrambled away from the wolf as far as the back seat would allow.
"Bad Derek!"
If he'd had anything in his belly, the wolf would have yacked it up out of spite at that. As it was, all he could do was glare. He had a feeling this was going to be a long drive. What was it with these people and obnoxiously smelly places? Deaton's, it turned out, was not only full of sick animals, bitter medicine, and eye-watering cleaning agents, it also reeked of magic. A mountain ash barrier had been built into the reception desk. A line of booby-trapped floorboards lay beyond. The walls contained hex bags, at least three different drawers held dried bitter plant, and several containers made from old magic wood were stacked up right next to glass bottles filled with all kinds of suspicious herbs. Come to think of it, yes. He'd been here before, and he hadn't enjoyed it much then either. Scott Alpha had called the rest of his pack. As much as you could call it a pack. On the way over. Because apparently, all of them except for Peter Dead Not Dead had helped search for him. And the room was chock full of hunter humans, werewolves, a kitsune, and a deathmatcher girl. Pack and pack adjacent and pack orbiting, in no particular order or configuration. They were staring down at the wolf in astonishment, as though they didn't know how rude and intimate it was to make direct eye contact with someone on four legs. The kitsune smelled of ozone and overheated power cable, which made the wolf's nose tingle with a desire to sneeze. He didn't dare let loose, though, because he was still the center of attention, and closing his eyes seemed like a bad idea. He also strongly suspected she was going to coo at him if he sneezed, and the thought alone was enough to make him squirm. Even worse, the death magic girl was studying him with interest. Frankly, not the kind of attention a smart wolf wanted. The flat, weird, echoey smell of her, earth, emptiness, and something faintly flowery, punched him in the nose every time he took a deeper breath, which he tried to avoid. It turned into an unpleasant sort of circle. Clinic stench was overlaid by Kitsune Tickle, was smacked down by Death Magic Girl. The hunter humans added the final touch to the already impressive level of discomfort. The wolf knew they belonged to this strange pack cluster, but their family scent made him ache with the memory of lightning sparks and biting blades. He kept thinking he smelled smoke, too. Wood smoke, plastic smoke, meat smoke. But this was another bad thing from his past that he refused to let resurface. He endured their hard stares for a short while, and then went to hide behind Sheriff and Stiles, where he dropped to his belly and tried to become invisible. Everybody was talking over each other, at each other. So many words, the wolf lost track, and it all became so much noise to him. Lots of excitement all around. Not the good kind. And it made him a little edgy. But Sheriff stayed calm and unruffled through it all, and Stiles' full-body way of communicating kept the others at a safe distance. All of Sheriff's and Stiles' excitement was aimed outward, not at the wolf. It helped a lot. He'd rather trust them over the Alpha anyway, which... He hadn't realized that before. He glanced at Scott Alpha with this newfound insight. Scott Alpha was a nice Alpha, a comparatively gentle Alpha, but he wasn't doing much to control the diverse mix of pack and not quite pack. He was splitting his focus between Stiles, the dark-haired hunter cub, the beta, and the kitsune. And though he gestured at the wolf now and then, the wolf knew he wasn't Scott Alpha's priority. Scott Alpha would sacrifice or cast him out in a heartbeat if something more important came up, or if he doubted the wolf's dedication. Scott Alpha had made that very clear several times in the past, and though the wolf might not recall the exact circumstances, didn't want to, thanks, the lessons had stuck. It was easier to trust Sheriff's deep-rooted authority and general goodwill than Stiles, because Stiles had fought for him before, had come back for him when nobody else had. The wolf had faith in Stiles. Time passed. Not very much, not a little. The wolf adjusted to the chaos around him and learned several things while sitting in his Stilinski-guarded corner. He had been taken forcefully when he'd visited the burned-out den. The pack had lost the trail quickly and had been about to give him up for dead. And also, cooked burgers were worse than raw patties. The spices had left a disgusting aftertaste on his tongue. A strand of green stuff was stuck between his back teeth somewhere, and the onions were doing a number on his poor tummy. Trying not to draw attention, he farted as discreetly as possible a few times, which helped a bit. Luckily, nobody noticed. They were too busy squabbling about whatever it was that was currently riling them up. Something about hunter humans and their shitty habit of breaking their own codes. Stiles was not happy with Scott Alpha. And even less happy with Fearbiter Lost Cub Isaac Beta. There was resentment there on both sides. Old jealousy, rivalry, and bad memories. It probably didn't help that Stiles didn't do well with waiting. "So where the hell is Deaton?" he asked finally, voice sharp. "Right here, Mr. Stilinski." The wolf ducked down lower, nose twitching nervously. He hadn't heard this one come in, he hadn't smelled him. His scent was faint, muted, hidden among all the bad place smells. Deaton Creepy Snake stepped closer. Staring, so tall. Why did so many two legs loom constantly? They didn't have to, it wasn't a size thing. Sheriff didn't do it, and neither did Stiles and Scott Alpha. They made the wolf bristle defensively and utter a low grumble of a growl. A warning to stay away, back off, fucking stop staring. "Always going for the grand entrance," Stiles complained, even as he moved a step to the side, blocking Deaton's view. "What, do you have a secret trap door installed back there?" "Yes," Deaton Creepy Snake said, bone dry.
Stiles immediately craned his neck, trying to spy the trapdoor in question.
Deaton huffed in exasperation.
It's called a service entrance. I use it when my exam room is... He eyed them all with a reproachfully raised eyebrow. Crammed full of uninvited visitors. Stiles subsided with a miffed look, and sullen. I knew that. I had to let the others know Derek was back, Scott Alpha piped up. And that he was... He gestured at the wolf.
Like this.
The wolf's nerves were pretty frayed by that point. He couldn't run, because he had nowhere left to run. He was home, for better or worse. And there was nothing to fight. So he crawled a little closer to his human shields and gnawed surreptitiously on the nearest pair of shoelaces. The chewing helped calm him down and soothed the animal part of his mind. It also successfully distracted him from the growing urge to yip hysterically and hide under the storage trays. He glanced up guiltily when he felt the combined weight of the pack's disbelieving stares. Sheriff sighed and carefully lifted his foot, which absolutely failed to dislodge the wolf.
Oh, for Christ's sake, this is pitiful.
He straightened up and let his voice drop into the deeper register he used when assuming control of the situation.
Everybody out. Give the poor guy some space before he starts in on my pants.
The hunter cub nodded tersely. Keep me posted, she told Scott Alpha, then grabbed the kitsune, who had been trying to surreptitiously point her talk machine at the wolf for clicking purposes, and dragged her out of the room.
I'm staying, Scott Alpha declared, unsurprisingly.
Sheriff looked down at the wolf. The wolf didn't meet his gaze, because he had it with all the staring, and he didn't stop chewing fretfully on Sheriff's shoelace. But he moved a leg so he could curl a paw around Stiles' ankle. Stiles could stay. Stiles wasn't always the wolf's biggest fan, but he was reliable and familiar. Better yet, his scent. Musk medicine sex paper. Carried just the right notes to cover the more disturbing smells.
Yep, I'm staying too, Stiles said, sounding smug. He was forgiven, because he shifted closer so the wolf didn't have to stretch his legs so far. Not close enough for the wolf to latch onto his laces, though.
Why does he get to stay? Isaac Beta protested. Because I give awesome ear rubs, Stiles deadpanned.
Bye, Isaac. Don't forget your scarf.
Isaac Beta sneered at him, but he didn't fight back. He smelled angry and a little cowed, outranked by a human without realizing that's what had happened.
See you at home, Scott,
he said, but he was looking at Stiles as he did, so it was a dig. As such, it would have been more impressive if he hadn't hurried out before Stiles could shoot back a reply, all but running after the hunter cub and the kitsune.
They didn't get very far. The kitsune somehow managed to trip over air, almost went sprawling, and then let out a high-pitched squeal of delight.
Oh my god, baby kittens! Alice and Isaac, look!
At least they were out of the room.
He could ignore the baby talk that started up in the kitty nursery.
Let the cats deal with it. Cats were very good at maintaining their boundaries, after all. Probably because they were adorable bipolar / happy little psychos.
Call us when he's human again, the older hunter human ordered, with a final glare at the wolf, before he went to retrieve his cub from the nursery. I have questions. It could have been a threat, but the hunter human's body language and smell didn't back it up. Hadn't even at the beginning. He was concerned, grudgingly fond, and relieved. More part of the pack than outsider. More friend of the wolf's than enemy. If all else fails, the death magic girl added, already on her way out the door. We'll put him in a pink princess harness. That'll give him incentive to change back.
No, that's what I call cruel and unusual punishment,
Sheriff muttered. Deaf Magic Girl tossed her hair and stuck up her nose. Catty.
Figured, what would that mean, piece of advice?
Whatever works. Excuse me, I have a life to get back to.
Thanks for your help, Styles called after her. We appreciate it.
She glanced over her shoulder at that. Of course you do, she said. But she did smell pleased, and she marched out with her head held high in a way the wolf associated with proudly raised tails. She walked straight into the kitty nursery. The wolf assumed that the meowing that followed was the cats hailing their queen. Sheriff waited until the slow-moving door had closed behind her, then moved his foot again, nudging the wolf's jaw gently.
Come on, kid. I still need those.
Reluctantly, the wolf let go and sat up between father and son,
hoping for some body contact.
He wasn't disappointed. Both Styles and Sheriff immediately put their hands on his head. Styles to play leisurely with his ear.
He really did give awesome ear rubs.
And Sheriff to cradle the back of his head with a big hand, warm and reassuring. The tension seeped out of the wolf and left him droopy-eyed and panting contentedly. This was all right. This was fine. All they needed now was a den and some real food, and they'd be all set. Scott Alpha pulled out his talk machine and aimed it at them, clicking away with a stupid smile on his face.
Man, I gotta show these to my mom. She thought I was kidding when I told her.
He looked at the machine and frowned.
Wait, that's weird. Why is there no eye flare?
Deaton Creepy Sneak glanced at the picture. I believe it might have something to do with how deeply he has hidden the human part of him.
You mean there's nothing left of Derek?
Scott Alpha sounded so horrified, the wolf almost wished he could tell him out loud what a bullshit theory that was. Of course Derek was still there. They weren't separate.
The wolf was Derek, and Derek was the wolf.
Derek was two legs and thinking feeling too much. The wolf was four legs and simple basics. Sometimes the edges blurred. Sometimes there was more of one than the other, but you couldn't lose either one of them. One soul remained one soul, even if it happened to be somewhat battered. Flipping from one end of the spectrum to the other was chiefly a reordering of priorities. The angle of the eye and all its layers, on the other hand, shifted drastically between two-legged form and four-legged form, which accounted for the difference between dramatic flare and mere reflection. It wasn't worth getting back up on two legs to explain this, though. So the wolf only scoffed and gave Deaton Creepy Snake an unimpressed look. He could absolutely judge somebody with his eyebrows in this form. Wolf eyebrows were every bit as eloquent as human eyebrows. You just had to know how to use them. Deaton Creepy Snake frowned down at him. I'm not saying he's gone. I'm saying that right now, the wolf is in charge.
So how do we get Derek back? Sheriff asked. He can't stay like this forever, right?
I don't see why not, Styles grumbled, and rubbed the wolf's ear between two fingers, with exactly the right amount of pressure to make the wolf's eyes roll back. Scott Alpha huffed. Styles flailed with the hand not currently doing lovely things to the wolf's ear.
What? It's totally an improvement. He's not scowling or dating bad guys or slinking around in unsanitary places. Still a bit paranoid, but what can you do? At least he's a lot easier to get along with when you can buy his affection with ear rubs.
And you always wanted a dog, Sheriff added wryly. And I always wanted a dog. Styles was an asshole. The wolf would have nipped him in the butt for it, but Styles was also massaging the very tip of his ear, and the wolf didn't dare move lest he stop. Turned out, it was all right, because for once, Scott Alpha was satisfyingly outraged on his behalf.
He's not a dog, Styles. You can't keep him.
He might have to, Deaton Creepy Sneak noted. He'd been staring at the wolf the entire time, which was rude, but not quite as intimidating as half the pack doing the same. At least for a while. The ability to shift into a full wolf is rare. There is very little documentation about the pitfalls involved. I will have to make some calls. Until then, I suggest you keep Derek close. Scott Alpha pulled a face, but seemed agreeable enough. He can stay with me, I guess.
No, he can't, dude. You already have Isaac around. Your mom's gonna flip if you settle her with another furry freeloader.
Styles interrupted, because Styles had zero respect for pack hierarchy and absolutely no inhibitions when it came to talking right over his alpha. That was how badass Styles was.
We have more room. He can sleep on the couch. It'll be like when we had that canine trainee with us last year. If we could deal with Gonzo, we can deal with Derek.
His fingers dug into the wolf's fur possessively.
Oh, come on, Sheriff whined. Gonzo was a pain in the ass. There's a reason we don't have a dog.
But he's not a dog, Styles declared triumphantly. He's a werewolf.
Indeed, a needy werewolf currently stuck on four legs, who has nowhere else to go.
Yes, Styles, because that's so much better. Sheriff sighed, but his hand was still a warm, steady weight on the wolf's head, thumb rubbing gently over the soft fur in the dip between the wolf's ears.
How long are we talking here? A day? Two? Or should we start forging paperwork for our illegal wolf hybrid before some asshole decides to tattle on the sheriff?
I can set you up with the necessary paperwork,
Deaton Creepy Snake said.
And a pair of dog tags. You can pick them up tomorrow.
Bring Derek. I'll need to do some tests.
Tests? Styles' grip tightened.
Deaton Creepy Sneak shrugged.
There are ways to prevent a wolf from shifting back to human form. I can determine if that's the case here, but I need to get supplies first.
That will take a few days at least. In the meantime, I suggest you get him a collar and stock up on wolf-appropriate food. I'll give you a list.
Sheriff's hand stilled.
I don't know if I feel comfortable putting a collar on a werewolf. Isn't that degrading?
I'm afraid he'll have to endure it. Deaton Creepy Snake locked eyes with the wolf again. The wolf curled his lip to show a hint of teeth. Unsurprisingly, Deaton Creepy Snake wasn't cowed.
Consider it a safety measure. Not for your safety, but for his.
Okay. Sheriff was pulling himself up, dealing with it.
Give me the rundown. How do we do this with minimal trauma?